For Jesus took three of his disciples and was gloriously, wonderfully transfigured. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. We'll conclude our reading there at verse 9. And we know that the journey of life, brother and sister, so often there comes the perplexing times. There comes the difficulties. There comes the testing times. And it's a great comfort to know in such times as that, that the Lord Jesus draws near and goes with us. We can remember in Luke chapter 24, where their disciples are on the way from the road, on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Bible scholars tell us that it was a husband and wife, a man and a woman on the journey of life. And they are perplexed. Their hearts are troubled. They are greatly concerned. And the Savior himself drew near and went with them. They came to the little village of Emmaus. And there they invited the Savior into their home. And the Lord Jesus was with them on the journey. He was with them in their home. And their testimony was, did not our hearts burn within us while Jesus walked with us and talked with us by the way? What a blessing it is to know that Jesus is with us on the journey. What we were reading this morning, where Jesus didn't only join the disciples, but where he led them, he guided them. He took three of his privileged disciples to this particular mountain where he was transfigured. I don't know whether you've ever looked at the Savior on the mountaintop, but very often you will find the Lord Jesus is associated with mountains. When he commenced his earthly ministry, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil took the Lord Jesus up into a high mountain. If you want the reference, it's Matthew chapter 4, and it's verse 8. And again the devil taketh him. Now this is the devil taking the Lord Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see, the devil claims a title that belongs to the Lord. He wants to be the possessor of heaven and earth. He doesn't want the Savior to go to the cross, and he offers him all the kingdoms of this world. But the Lord Jesus refused him. He did go to the cross. And beloved, just for your encouragement, that the Lord is sovereign, and he will occupy all the kingdoms of this world. If you want that reference, you'll find it in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. the Lord Jesus will rule and reign in this world. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. So we see the Lord Jesus as He starts His earthly ministry. He's associated with a mountain. Satan takes the Savior up into a mountain. But the Savior was not only tempted and tested on a mountain. The Savior taught on a mountain. In Matthew chapter 5, you'll notice there that it says, "And seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying." We have the Sermon on the Mount right through chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. So you see the Lord Jesus on the mountain, and He's being tested. We see the Lord Jesus on the mountain, and He's teaching. But then the Lord Jesus, of course, was transfigured on the mountain. That's where we are today in chapter 17. Of course, the Lord Jesus went up to Mount Calvary, to that particular place, and there they crucified Him. The Lord Jesus ascended from the mountain. He ascended from the Mountain of Olives. Beloved, that's where He's coming back to. One day His feet again will touch the Mountain of Olives, and He will rule and reign forever. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But today we're looking at the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was the last year of the Savior's ministry on earth. A few months' time He would be going to the cross. But before He goes to the cross, this tremendous event occurred. His human appearance was changed. His garments were changed. And in a moment, there was a display of His deity and His glory. His humanity gave way to a manifestation of His glory. There is His unveiled glory for a short moment of time. Now, there are many truths we can learn from the story or the record that we have read of the Savior on the Mount of Transfiguration. But one of the great truths is this, that Jesus is most certainly God Almighty. He never ceased being God. You see, He is God. And there we learn that Jesus was manifest to them. He was glorified. He was transfigured. And we can see Jesus is God, a very God. He came down the ladder of humiliation. He became a servant. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But before He goes to the cross, there is this wonderful display of His glory to His disciples. Four writers of the New Testament tell us, three of those four writers tell us of this tremendous event of the manifestation of the glory of the Lord Jesus. Now you could look at the callers. There was those that called that particular day. We read about them, Moses representing the law and Elias. And then we read about the cloud. And of course, there are lessons for us to learn in all those things. And the changes that took place. But what we want to look at this morning are the circumstances surrounding the transfiguration. And we're looking at three things. We notice the people, and we notice the place, and the period of time. So that's our planned outline for our morning study. We're thinking about the place of transfiguration. This mountain where this occurred. Then we're thinking about the people, three particular people who saw the transfiguration. And then we want to think about the period of time that it occurred. May it please the Lord to give us help as we meditate upon it. And as we do so, I pray it will be an encouragement to you who have come to worship today. Notice, first of all, the place of the glorious transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. "And after 6 days taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart." Keep your finger there and go over to Mark's record. And it's Mark chapter 9. And it reads in verse 2, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh with Him Peter, James, and John," mark it, "and leadeth them in up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them." notice that Mark tells us that Jesus is leading the way. He selects these three disciples and he takes them up into a mountain. You see, Jesus is leading the way. Brother and sister, he always leads the way. He guides us every day. The Savior is leading us. Remember, he is the shepherd. And the shepherd, he says, I know my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Could I just pause and ask you personally this morning, how close are you to the shepherd? Since you gathered here last Lord's Day morning, did you hear his voice leading you? You see, beloved, he was leading these disciples apart. He was leading them close to himself. They were going to see things. They were going to hear things that others didn't. Because they were close to him. They had been listening to him. They were near him. And the Savior always blesses those who are near to him. May we be those people who are close to the Lord Jesus, that we too might be blessed. Now you'll notice it says here that he leads them up into a high mountain, or he taketh them up into a high mountain. Scholars differ as to where this mountain is, or which particular mountain that the writer is talking about. There are those who tell us that it's Tabor, and that it is a mountain, of course, in Palestine. But other scholars disagree with it. And it's most likely that it was Hebron, because Hebron was much closer. Now you'll notice what happened in chapter 16. And look at verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. And it says, and when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Notice he's in the area of Caesarea Philippi. And Mount Hermon is much closer than the Mount Tabor was. But whatever mountain it was, the thing to remember is this, that those disciples were apart. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Notice what Mark adds to that. Mark tells us in chapter 9, at verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up on high mountain apart by themselves. Notice, they're alone with the Savior. That's the lesson we want to get across. That's the place of blessing. You'll notice this, that they're apart. It's a place of privacy. They're alone with the Lord. And, of course, it was emphasized later on that they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, you see, when a person is alone with the Lord, they see things, they hear things. Remember how it was with John? John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he says, I heard behind me a great voice, as the voice of many waters. When a man or woman, irrespective of who they are, when that person gets alone with the Lord, they will hear things, they will see things. That's how it was in Mount Transfiguration. They were alone with the Lord. It was the place of edification. It was the place of encouragement. Now, if it were Mount Hermon, it's 35 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, and it has three main peaks. The highest peak is 9,000 feet. Those peaks are covered with snow. And in the spring, the snow dissolves and melts, and that is the source of the Jordan. The snow melts in the summer and forming the source of the Jordan River. Hermon is a beautiful mountain, and it is every possibility that was where the Lord was transfigured. Now, I mentioned earlier in our introduction that Jesus was tempted on the mountain. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. But do you see the contrast, brother and sister? The devil takes Jesus up to trip him, to cause him to fall. Jesus takes his disciples up the mountain that they might be blessed, that they might be edified, that they might be helped. Satan takes us to defile us. Jesus takes us to edify us. When the world lifts us up, brother and sister, it's to hurt us. It's to cause us shame. When Jesus lifts us up, it is to help us and to bless us. Oh, how I pray that this church will be the place of blessing for us. that it'll be the place of edification for God's people. And for those who are cold at heart and backslidden, it will be the place of restoration. For those who are unconverted, and I venture to say, and I don't know you all personally, I would venture to say that there are those today who are not converted, who are not in the broad and crowded road. And Jesus wants to take you today to a place where He will bless you, first of all, with salvation. He wants to bless your home, wants to bless your family. And I pray this day, this will be the house of salvation for men and women who know Jesus, who know not the Savior. Those who are cold at heart, following Him afar off, dabbling in the world, far too close to the world. This will be the place where you will come back to the Lord. This will be the place of blessing for us all. So the place of transfiguration was a high mountain. It was a place of privacy. It was a place where blessing came to Peter, James, and John. And I say again, it's my earnest prayer that this house will be a place of blessing to all who assemble here. May we know that experimentally today and bring glory to Jesus. I want you to notice not only the place of transfiguration, but look again with me. And you will see here the people who saw the transfiguration. And the three names are given: Peter, James, and John. The Lord Jesus had 70 followers. And within those 70, there was the circle of 12. But there was the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. You see, those three men saw things and heard things that others didn't. For instance, if you go over to Mark chapter 5, you will notice at verse 37 that those three men are taken apart from the nine. And notice they are brought into the home of Jairus. Verse 37, Mark 5, 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed. Notice he puts them all out. And there's none in the home with him, only Peter, James, and John, and the girl's father and mother. They were with him when death gave way to light. Jesus is the life, and He's the light. And death always had to give way. That's why Jesus died first, you know, on the cross. When they came to the Lord Jesus, the soldiers marveled. They were amazed that He was dead already. It wasn't possible for the other two thieves to die in His presence. And you'll notice every time that Jesus confronted death, death had to give way. You see, He's the conqueror. But you'll notice here that these men, these three privileged men, were with Him on the mount. They were with Him there in the room where He raised up Jairus' daughter. They were with Him at the place of prayer. They were with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you look over at chapter 14 of Mark's Gospel, and I always like people to have the reference, notice He takes with them to the place of prayer. They've left the upper room. They've crossed the Valley Kidron. They have come to the Garden of Gethsemane. And notice what it says at verse 33. And He taketh with Him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and very heavy. And He tells them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed. Notice there that those three men are with Him on those particular occasions. Now, why these three men? Why were they selected? Why were they taken out from There was 12. Why were they taken out from the others? And I would suggest to the congregation this morning, they were taken because of their devotion and their dedication. Now, of course, there were times when the Lord Jesus had to rebuke Peter. He had to rebuke James and John also. But while they were rebuked, yet they were privileged and they were blessed. You remember it was Peter who told the Lord Jesus that it was his firm conviction that He was the Lord. Just where you are there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, look across the page to chapter 16. And the Lord Jesus, we've already read, He's at Caesarea Philippi. He asked the question in verse 13, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, you're Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But then notice it's personal. "But whom," He saith unto them, "but whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Notice, Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. He's the Messiah. He is the deliverer of Israel and of His people. It was, of course, John who leaned on the bosom of the Savior. Listen, beloved. John was close to Christ in the upper room. When the Savior washed the disciples' feet, John leaned on His bosom. He felt the heartbeat of the compassionate Savior. You see how close he was to Jesus. James, of course, was the Christian martyr. He wasn't the first, because Stephen was martyred first, but he was the first of the disciples. He was the first of these three men to die. Peter and James were arrested. They were put in prison, and Herod had them. In Acts chapter 12, Herod had James beheaded, and then he was hoping after Easter to do the same to Peter. Church met, and prayer was answered, and Peter was delivered. But James was martyred. And John was the one who was entrusted with the last book of the Bible. John was entrusted to give to us those tremendous revelations that are recorded for us in the book of Revelation. Is it any wonder these three men became the leaders of the new church and the new work in Jerusalem? Peter was the leader. He preached with the anointing of God upon him. 3,000 were sold. 3,000 souls were saved. He preached again, and 5,000 souls were saved. These men were entrusted to be the leaders of the church. These three men, I'm suggesting to you that they were men of devotion and men of dedication. And beloved, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still looking for people who are devoted to Him. He's still looking for people who are dedicated to Him. Now let me ask you, are you a man and a woman who's totally dedicated to the Lord with Judgment Day on this day? The Holy Ghost looking down over our gathering, can you say, "Yes, preacher, I love the Lord. I'm dedicated to Him. I take my stand for Him. Whatever the consequences, whatever the cost, I'll follow Jesus. Where He may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust Him so." You see, here were people who were dedicated to the Lord. Oh, I've already prayed that this will be a house of blessing, a house of edification. But oh, may there be people be here who are devoted and committed to the Lord. May each of us be totally dedicated to the Lord. Now, we're talking this morning to you about the circumstances here of this transfiguration. We have mentioned the place. It was a high mountain. But listen, it was a mountain of privacy. It was a place where Peter and James and John got alone with the Savior. May we find that place and get alone with the Savior. The people were men of devotion and dedication. Now I want you to notice in the third place, the period of the dedication. Notice the time when the dedication occurred. You will find a particular period is mentioned. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, first of all. "And after 6 days taketh Peter, James, and John." Let me give you the three references so as you'll have them. The others are easy followed because they're both chapter 9, Mark chapter 9. And you'll notice the 6 day period is mentioned. That's important. Chapter 9 of Mark's Gospel, verse 2. "And after 6 days Jesus taketh with Him Peter, James, and John." Go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And notice what it says here. Chapter 9, and down the chapter to verse 28. "And it came to pass about an 8 day period." Oh, here's the modernist. Here's the contradiction of the Bible. Matthew says 6 days. Mark says 6 days. But Luke says 8 days. Is there a contradiction? No. No, there are no contradictions in the Bible. Notice it says in each case, "and about and after 6 days." After what? After the Lord Jesus made a tremendous prediction. Chapter 16, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Mark tells us after 6 days. Luke tells us after 8 days. How are we to understand this? Matthew and Mark are talking about the period when Jesus made His prediction and the period of the Transfiguration. He's talking about the period between the words of Jesus making that great prediction and the day of Transfiguration. Luke is incurring, he is including the day when Jesus made the prediction and the day of the Transfiguration. So there's no contradiction. That's the way to understand it. Matthew and Mark are talking about the days in between. 6 days between the day Jesus made the prediction and the Transfiguration. Luke incurs the day Jesus made the prediction and spoke those words and the day of the Transfiguration. So when someone comes along to you and says, here's one of the contradictions of the Bible, you'll be able to answer it without any difficulty. You see, the thing to notice here as we look at the period of the Transfiguration is this. The Transfiguration occurred after the prediction that Christ declared. He was telling them here that He was going to die. He was going to the cross. He said they wouldn't taste death till they would see the Son of Man coming. Notice what He had said at verse 21 of chapter 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's telling them here that He's going to the cross. He's preparing them for it. He's telling them here that something is going to happen, and He's making this tremendous prediction that He would suffer, that He would die. But notice He's encouraging them before He goes. And I've said to you earlier, it was the last day of the last months of the Savior's ministry on earth. And He's showing the disciples here something of His glory, something of His power, something of His deity. He's saying, you'll notice here, the period of the Transfiguration is after Christ made that prediction. In chapter 16, verse 28, verily I say unto you, there'll be some standing here. There'll be those around here, and you'll not die till you see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. He would go to the cross. He would die. And they would see Him in His resurrection, in His resurrected body. You see, the period of the Transfiguration occurred after Christ made that declaration. But secondly, the period of the Transfiguration occurred after the popularity of Christ was decreasing. You see, things were happening and His popularity was decreasing. Oh, there's a time when all men flocked to hear Him. The people heard. The common people received Him gladly. But now, it's getting nearer to His death. It's getting nearer to the close of His earthly ministry. There's a decline. Look at John chapter 6. Verse 66. And from that time, you see, He had said to them, and He's talking to them about His death, that I say unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given him by my Father. He tells them about His death. He's referring to it. But notice what He says in verse 66. And from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. You see, the time of the Transfiguration was getting closer it was in the last months of our Savior's ministry on earth. It was a time when the popularity of Christ was waning among the vast majority of the people. His enemies were closing in around Him. They were wanting to take Him and crush Him and finally crucify Him. The enemies of Christ were preparing to crucify Him. But before they could do that, Jesus was transfigured. He was glorified. His devoted, dedicated followers would see Him in those. It was a dark period ahead, but the disciples saw the Lord Jesus glorified. My dear friends, Christ wants us to see Him in the gloom, in the darkness. And what gloom and what darkness is engulfing this world of ours. And Jesus wants us to see Him. To see Him in His glory. To see Him in His power. To see Him in His majesty. What a Savior. There's the Savior. He's transfigured before His disciples. It was a period when His popularity was decreasing. It was a period when many of the disciples went back and followed Him no more. But there were three men who were with Him. They were up on the mountain. And they heard something. Oh, notice in verse chapter 17 and verse 5. And while He yet spake, and I should say to you, if we had time to look at it this morning, Moses and Elias knew what they were talking about. They were talking about His death. They were talking about His crucifixion. You can read about that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, when you go home. Notice, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. What has the Lord for us this morning? He wants a people who are dedicated, a people who are devoted, a people who are listening to His voice. God Almighty in heaven is saying, This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Young people, there are many voices calling for your attention, but there's one voice you need to hear. That's the voice of My blessed Savior. He's saying, Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As God looks over His people in cool rain this morning, does He see a people who are listening to the voice of His beloved Son? He's saying to us who are His, This is the way, walk you in it. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I'll bring you to the place of blessing. Those who are backslidden, He's speaking to them. And He's saying, Come again to Me. Those who are unconverted, He says, Come now. Let us reason together. It's God's will. God's will that none of us leave this house this morning without hearing His voice. He has something special to say to each of us. There's those who need comforting. He has a word for you. There's those of us who need challenged. The Master has a word for us. There's those of you who need converted. The Savior has a word He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak that word of pardon. And to His people, He wants to speak that word of peace and that word of comfort. I pray we'll be those who'll be in the place where we will hear the Master, what He would say to us. May we be able to say like Samuel of old, Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Lord, give me hearing ears and understanding hearts. Bless my life, my home and my family and my church. May it be so, the glory of His name. Let us pray. Father,